Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
The single most important and interesting subject in the entire universe is this person, not just the historic Jesus, but the real Jesus. Do you know him? That's the question. Long ago, I learned some prose about it, so everybody sees Jesus differently. To the artist, he's the altogether lovely one. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he's the bright in the morning star. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the beautician, he is the fairest of 10,000. To the biologist, he is life itself. To the builder, he is a sure foundation. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he's a great teacher. To the electrician, he's the power. To the farmer, he's the lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the historian, he's the ancient of days. To the horticulturalist, he's the true vine. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To the jurist, he is the righteous judge. To the lawyer, he's the counselor and an advocate. To the oculist, he's the light of the world. To the philanthropist, he's the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the knowledge of God. To the preacher, he's the wisdom of God. To the reporter, he is good tidings of great joy. And to the sculptor, he is the living bread. And in fact, to the servant, he is the good master. It goes on, for example, to the statesman, he's the desire of all nations. To the student, he's the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. To the traveler, he is a new and living way. To the toiler, he is a giver of rest. To the sinner, he's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And to the zoologist, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So we want to study about Jesus, and we have been studying today. Our subject is to discover that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Savior. So here's what we've been doing. Unveiling Jesus. Notice this, that he became a new and living way, and he consecrated it to us. Now watch this. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. A veil is something that obscures. And most people today only know Jesus through the veil. In fact, here's an important scripture that we must grasp. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, from now going forward, that's not how we know him anymore. So here's the problem. Is that most people only know the veiled Jesus. We've already studied this together, but I want to do a bit of review. The human Jesus, the born in a manger Jesus, the debater at the age of 12 with the teachers in the synagogue, the carpenter, the helper in the carpenter shop, and at 30, he gathers followers, and we see him walk the Galilean shores, the bearded robe sandal Jesus, and cast out evil spirits, and heal people, and then he goes to the cross, where the greatest event in human history ever occurred, where he took our sins and our sorrows, and he made them his very own. And then we see the resurrection and his ascension back to his rightful place as Lord of the universe. The veiled Jesus, the human Jesus, is in fact veiled. The scripture says that's not how we know him anymore. So we got together, and if you haven't seen it yet, you should probably review it. We discovered that Jesus, beyond the veil, was the creator, indeed, of all things. Look at the scripture. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. My goodness. Without him was not anything made that was made. So we learned that he's the creator. Look at this scripture. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, whether they be visible or invisible. Look at this scripture. Thou, even thou art Lord alone. Look at this now. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts. You made the earth and all the things that are in it. You made the seas and all that is therein, and you preserve them all. And the hosts of heaven worship you. He made them all. Awesome. Jesus is not just the veiled human Jesus, but the Creator. And he made the earth, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And not just the earth, but he made the moon. And not just the moon, but the scripture says that in his hands are the deep places of the earth. He scooped out the seas and piled up the mountains with a stream and laid a green carpet down across there with daffodils, tacked it down with daffodils. I mean, he made it all, and the sea and everything that's in the sea, and all the beasts of the field were made by him, and the fowls of the air, and everything that's on the earth and all of its beauties, it was all made by him. Jesus, the Creator of absolutely everything. And then we got together and we talked about Jesus being the lover. And so just a couple of verses as a reminder. The Lord has appeared of old, Jeremiah says. And he says, I have drawn thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Loved you, loved with an everlasting love. In fact, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over everything he's made, all his works. My goodness. Now, here's a stunning thing about the Lord. He loved us even while we were yet sinners. He died for us. Now, to me, this is one of the most staggering truths one could ever contemplate. God loves evil people. God loves sinners. Maybe we should go back and take another look at that verse. God commends his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. My goodness. He loves the worst. He loves evil people. Now, he loves them too much to leave them that way, that's for sure. But we learn that Jesus was not only Creator, but he is the great lover. In fact, haven't we learned this about the Lord, that many waters cannot quench love, and the floods can't drown it. You cannot stop. There's nothing you can do to stop Jesus from loving you. Behind the veil, he's the Creator. Behind the veil, not only the Creator of the entire universe, but he is the lover of his universe and of all mankind. And today, we want to talk about Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. So, let's get started. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, how you think of Jesus is really important. In fact, let me take you to a scripture. The Pharisees, the hypocrites, okay, were gathered together. And so Jesus asked them this most important question, and this is the question. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Jesus? What do you think of me? That's what he asked them. And that would be an appropriate question for me to ask myself today and to ask you. What do you think about Jesus? Here's why. Because whatever you think of Jesus will have an effect. Let me show you. What you think of Jesus will determine your attitude towards him. It will determine your relationship to him. It will determine your conduct. In fact, it will determine your destiny. all depends on how you think about Jesus. So you really want to be accurate when you think about him. Because if you're right about Jesus, you'll be right about the gospel. If you're wrong about Jesus, you'll be wrong about the gospel. It won't work. If you're right about Jesus, you'll be right about everything. And if you're wrong about Jesus, to be wrong about everything. This is staggering, my friends. What you think of Jesus is determining everything about a person's life. If you think right about him, you'll be right about everything. You know why? Because he made it clear, and he proved it, vindicated, vetted, established through centuries. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. To be wrong about Jesus is to be wrong about everything. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what should a profit a man if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What you think of Jesus is so important. Now, our subject today is Jesus the Savior, so let me get to it. The first thing we learn is that a Savior is needed. Ooh, watch the scriptures now. As is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody. There's none that has got it together, understands. There's none that seeks after God. There's none that seek after God, and they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Oh my goodness. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is like an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they use deceit. No integrity. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, this is a description of the human predicament. Left unaided, unsaved, unsalvaged, that's a good word, man is lost. This is so important that I thought maybe you'd like to see it in a different translation, so here we go. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody knows the score. Nobody is alert to God or for God. They've all taken the wrong turn. Remember that scripture? It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And so everybody is doing their own thing, playing God, narcissistic. You see, they've all taken the wrong way. They've all wandered down blind alleys. No one is living right. Can't find a single one. Their throats are like gaping graves. Their tongues are slick as mudslides. Every word they speak is tinged with poison. They open their mouths and they pollute the air. They race for the honor of sinner of the year. Everybody wants to be the big shot sinner. They litter the land with heartbreak and ruin. Oh my goodness. Let's stop there just for a moment, because you've got to understand why the world needs a savior. They litter the land with heartbreak and ruin. Deserted spouses, heartbroken. Deserted children, ruined families. Oh my goodness. They litter the land with heartbreak and ruin. They don't know the first thing about living with how to get along with anybody. Always living in friction. They never give God the time of day. It's because of this we must understand that a Savior is really needed. In fact, one scripture says the whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world, full of it, everywhere. Doesn't take very much discernment today, even in our own country. But you see, the wickedness is going on. The amount of bribery, the amount of corruption, it's everywhere. It reaches, you know, it used to be the thief was, you know, down in the street corner stealing pickpockets. Then we got blue-collar thieves. Then we got white-collar thieves. Now we got thieves that are filling the highest positions in our land. They're corruption. It's the whole world lies in wickedness. On the other hand, we know that the Son of God has come. Wow. And he has given to us understanding. We know what's really going on. So that we can know him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. A Savior is really needed. Now, I want to take this the next step to understand that, in fact, a Savior was predicted. There was going to come to the world a solution. So here's some of those. Tell ye, bring them all near. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? As none else. Have not I the Lord? See, there is no God beside me. A just God, a Savior. There's none. I want you to break this down and see this. There is no God beside me. And he says, I am a just God and I am a Savior. And nobody else can do this. There's none beside me. And so he says, look unto me. Look unto me. He predicted he was going to show up here. And he's saying to us, make sure that you look unto me and be saved. That's what the Savior does. He saves. That's why they call him Savior. Salvager. Look unto me all and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. A Savior was predicted. Now, once a year we give an emphasis to this, and so let's not skip it this time either, for here's a well-known one. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. A Savior was predicted. There's another one that's known at Christmas time of the year. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of the little towns of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel. It's the one whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Oh, better go back and take a look at this again. This predicted one is not somebody who's going to start. It's somebody who has already been, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. And so the prediction a Savior was needed. A Savior was predicted. In fact, let's look at another one of those scriptures. She, referring to Mary, shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, way back historically, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. A Savior was needed. A Savior was predicted. And here's the really, really good news. There it is. A Savior came. Whoa. Savior was needed. Savior was predicted. And in the fullness of time, an actual time in history, the Savior came. Wow. Watch the scripture now. Where'd he come from? He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaks about earthly things, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. I don't want you to miss this. He that cometh from above, he's Mr. Big. He is the creator. He is the designer. He is the Lord of glory. Now look at this. He came. Oh, and isn't that why we sing that great song at Christmas time? We should sing it all year long, really. Down from his glory, ever living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to his own stranger. A man of sorrows, grief, and agony. But, oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. Now listen to this. The great Creator became my Savior. Take another look. The great Creator became my Savior. And all of God's fullness dwells in him. The Savior came. Thus, the theme scripture, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were coming and I was God, I think I'm so narcissistic and so selfish. I'd want to make a big splash. I'd want marching bands and parades and confetti. And my goodness, I want to give invitations to all the dignitaries, you know, the big shots, you know, the presidents, the kings, the political stars, the heroes, the football players. I want everybody there when I show up. But God's not like that. He's not like that. He doesn't need to be. When you're God, you don't have to put on a big show. And you know, he didn't come to the kings and the queens and the dignitaries of presidents and the upper echelon, the famous people, came to shepherds who were looking after the sheep. For there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. That's who he came, just shepherds. And watch that. And lo, an angel of the Lord came on them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Imagine that. Showing up to shepherds, making his announcement, not over celestial loudspeakers that could be heard all around the planet, but a simple message to some shepherds. This is what he said. I'm bringing you good news, tidings of great joy, and it's going to reach all people. It's going to be all people. And here's the verse. To the shepherds, to the lowly, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's amazing. We needed a Savior. The Savior was predicted. The Savior came. And now what we must grasp is that the Savior came for all of us, for all mankind. Take a look at the scripture. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. You know, we probably need to stop there. He didn't come to point his finger at you. He came to do something about your predicament and mind. He sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why Jesus came here. Instead, he came that the whole world, I don't want you to miss this, the whole world through him might be saved. The whole world. He didn't just show up here for a select few, contrary to some theologians today that would try to convince you that he only came for some and not for all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, you see, whosoever. Well, let's look at the scripture further. There's no salvation in any other. Watch this now. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Savior came for all of us. Look at this. I'm the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt. You'll know no God but me. Now watch this. For there is no Savior beside me. There is no Savior beside me. This is not about religious choice. Buddha can't get you there. Muhammad, and I tell you something, Confucius got a lot of great sayings, but there's only one Savior. There is no other one capable, because nobody else died for you. Nobody else took your sins and your sorrows. Remember how the scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Remember those great scriptures. They've made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. There is no other Savior. He came for all of us. And he came not just for the good and not just for the bad, but for the absolute worst. Because he has such a, in fact, the Bible calls us so great a salvation. He's so great. There isn't anybody he can't save. Look at the scripture. He is able to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. Them that come unto God by him. To the uttermost. I mean, to the guttermost, to the uttermost. He's able to save them all. So these verses are repeated back. Let's go back to Isaiah for a moment. Even I am the Lord. Nobody else. Beside me, there is no Savior. Did you ever wonder why God had to be the Savior himself? Why didn't he choose an angel? Why didn't he just turn somebody else into the Savior? The answer is, if someone else was your Savior, then you would owe your allegiance to someone other than God. Ooh. That's why the scripture is important. I am the Lord. And beside me, there's no other. Look at this. Because he's the one who made the provision. We needed a Savior. The Savior was predicted. Savior came. And the Savior came for all mankind. But my friends, here's what I really want you to get. The Savior came for you. Yeah. Maybe nobody else believes you're worthwhile, but he does. He did. He does till this day, because he not only came, he still comes into people's lives today. He came for you. In fact, Jesus, on one occasion, John, stood and cried. And watch this. And he said, look at this now. If this little word is the hinge upon which the gates of heaven swing. If any man, if any man thirst, let him come to me. This was not something done for some elitist group, some exclusive persons. In fact, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. Because the bread that I will give him is my flesh. I will give it for the life of the whole world. Let's take another look at this. I don't want you to miss this. If any man, that includes you, my friend. He not only came for all mankind, he came for you. He came. Who is he? The Savior. He came to save you. Salvage you from the predictions that we, or from the conditions we were in as we started in point number one. He wants to be your Savior. So what does it mean to have him as your Savior? Well, it means that you will be forgiven. Imagine that. Of every sin and of every iniquity. To be saved means to be cleansed. It's not just forgiven, but it's, the stains are removed. The consequences are eliminated. And you get to experience life brand new, of being born again into the world. It's like you get a fresh start. You become a son or a daughter of God. You come back to your Father, the King. Whoa. That means to be in relationship with him. And you pass from darkness unto light. And now you can follow him in his ways. It means to be salvaged. It means to follow him and his ways. It means to inherit eternal life. None of us getting out of here alive, but death for you. It's got a promise attached to it if you come to the Savior properly. You have eternal life forever with him, participating in his big plans for the whole universe. And to be saved means to love, worship, and adore him. How can we not love such a Savior? Now, I want to end with some of the most important information I could ever give a human being. So he came to be the Savior of the world, and he came to be your Savior. How does he become your Savior? And the answer is, that you have to receive him. You receive him. How do you do that? You receive him by believing sufficiently, like you really believe sufficiently to follow him. Let's look at this now. Because he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But look at this great scripture. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as receive him. But you have to receive him properly. Believing sufficiently. In fact, look at this verse. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And your whole, how, everybody's going to be influenced by it. One more passage. Let's look at this. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as the Lord, the boss, the ruler, the master, your Lord. And if you'll believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Look at this. Look at this. This is what happens. You will be saved. You'll be salvaged. For with the heart, man believes unto being made right. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Receive him. When you receive him properly, I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But some wonderful things happen. Look at this. He would grant you that you be delivered out of the hand of your enemies so that you can serve him without fear and in holiness and always doing what's right before him. And it's going to last all the days of your life. Receive him by believing sufficiently to follow him, and he will deliver you from all your enemies, and you'll be able to serve him without fear and live in holiness before him all the days of your life. Now, I want to conclude with one very, very important scripture. Not, they're all important, by the way, but this one applicable to what we're talking about now. It's a verse you've probably heard a lot of. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. But here's what I want you to get. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The government. Well, let's go back. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Becoming a Christian is a change of government. It's a change from self-rule to Christ's rule. It's a change of government. The government of my life shall now be on his shoulders. He's going to take up the government position. He's going to take up the God position. I'm going to stop being a narcissist. I'm going to stop being egocentric. I'm going to stop playing God, and there's going to be a change of government. My life is now, because I believe in him sufficiently, to have him govern my life. You need to see the scripture one more time. Because the question is the government of your life upon his shoulder? Now, the scripture goes on and it says his name shall be called Wonderful. Isn't that the kind of person you'd like to have governing? Counselor, somebody is able to give you the advice that's always accurate, true, counted on, never let you down. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And this will shock you. Jesus, the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. And he is the Prince of Peace. Now watch this. and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. Will you bring your life? Will you receive him by believing sufficiently to turn the God position of your life over to him and let him govern? And that's how he becomes your Savior. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than receiving him, letting him come walking out of the pages of the Bible right into your life today. And if you do, you will be saved, because he, Jesus, is the only Savior.